how the discovery of New World screwworm in the U.S. could impact Michigan's cattle producers. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Michigan Ag Today News. A flesh-eating livestock parasite has resurfaced in the U.S. USDA confirmed Wednesday that New World screwworm was found in a calf in South Texas, marking the first case in the U.S. since the 1960s.
This is an animal health issue. This is not a food safety issue. So consumers do not have to be concerned about this.
That's Dr. Ron Lemonager, beef extension specialist with Purdue University. He says while a 20-kilometer quarantine zone is active around the impacted site in Texas, local climate shifts mean herds across Indiana and Michigan aren't completely immune during the warmer months.
The fly does not like 40-degree temperatures and below. So that gives us some protection in this part of the country. That doesn't mean to say that we can't get it in the summertime. And the heat has migrated north, and so we don't get as cold as soon as we used to.
He notes the most immediate threat to cattle across the Midwest would come from either interstate animal transport or wildlife movement.
Any warm-blooded animal is susceptible to the infection. If we monitor wounds, okay, anytime we get blood, cows that are calving, for example, navel cords on newborn calves or newborn animals of any kind, those are particularly vulnerable. The animal that does not have any wounds or blood on the surface are probably immune to it. But anytime we've got a wound or blood, those are the animals that are going to be the most vulnerable.
Lemonager adds that as the USDA accelerates its sterile fly release program to collapse the pest population, Midwestern cattle producers should brace for short-term market volatility driven by psychology rather than a genuine concern for direct infection.
Until everybody understands that's not been following this all along, they could react somewhat negatively to this news, but the reality is that it does not affect food safety. And that's a key point from the standpoint of volatility in the marketplace.
As federal officials race to contain the parasite, Lemonager urges Michigan cattle producers to monitor their animals closely and keep an eye out for any updates from the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development.
Improve the construction of your pole barns, riding arenas, and other ag structures with steel roof trusses from Johnny Truss. Steel trusses can be placed 8, 10, or 12 foot on center and sit directly on the post without the use of carrier beams. By using Johnny Truss steel trusses, you'll gain more headroom and storage, improve structural integration, and enjoy faster installation. Plus, steel trusses just plain look fantastic. Fantastic. Johnny Truss, Michigan's exclusive steel truss supplier, online at johnnytruss.com.
We know the hard work you put in every day to provide the food and crops that sustain us all. At Greenstone, we provide tailored lending solutions and financial tools to help you maintain a successful farming operation year-round, from season to season. Greenstone Farm Credit Services has been supporting farmers for over a century with the secure capital and market knowledge you can count on. With locations throughout Michigan and Northeast Wisconsin, we're here to help. Visit GreenstoneFCS.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Lane Greaser from Montcalm County, Michigan, and you're listening to Michigan Ag Today.
Moisture moving into the state today. We've got scattered showers already trying to exit Iowa, Wisconsin, and Northern Illinois. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a look at the Michigan farm forecast. This moisture is going to be spreading across the lower peninsula through the day. I think as we get into this afternoon and evening, definitely have some potential for some strong thunderstorm action across central parts of Michigan and into the lower third. That action slides southward then as we approach daybreak tomorrow, setting up a little bit more in Indiana and northern Ohio through Saturday. But we're not done Saturday in all parts of Michigan. I think we see hit and miss scattered action, especially in the east and the thumb, all the way through the day. Combined totals today and tomorrow, I think you got to put in anywhere from a quarter to one, maybe 1.5 inches. Now, that 1.5 is going to come in the area with thunderstorms, and that'll be a big part of it. Most of us are going to be in that 0.5 to 1 inch range, I believe. Now, once we get into Sunday, we dry down and see good weather all over the place, pleasant temperatures overall, but we're still seeing more moisture off to the west. It doesn't get here Monday, but overnight Monday night into Tuesday, we see scattered showers and thunderstorms developing. Some of this lingers through Wednesday, probably an additional 1/10 to 3/4 of an inch there over the 2 days. days. Dry for Thursday and Friday. You get into late this Saturday and Sunday, another frontal boundary sweeping through. Nice batch of rain there. And then dry for the start, the first half of next week, before moisture tries to come back late. That's going to be sketchy, though. We don't really have a good moisture source for the second half of next week, so we may be able to flip that pattern drier again. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
No reserve and all online. If you need equipment, it's the only way. Purple Wave Auction is selling Fox Contractors fleet May 21st. A 2020 Peterbilt sewer jet, a Cat D6N dozer, skid steers, and so much more. Fox has been maintaining iron across Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio since 1948. That reputation shows up in the equipment. See it yourself online at purplewave.com. Free to register, easy to bid. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest way to buy equipment.
Thursday was the fifth straight day that we've seen lower crop prices across the board in the grain markets. Here to explain is Andy Eubank and Angie Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting. They spoke at the close of trade Thursday.
Markets sold off, and that was the case in the corn and wheat markets. And the downside leader, Angie, on Thursday, soybean futures over 30 cents lower as we look at about $4 lower crude oil. The pressure on the grains continues. It seemed to intensify, though, Thursday. Why?
We did see the administration come out, Representative Greer there, or Trade Ambassador Greer, I think it is, come out and basically announced that an investigation into forced labor had found that several dozens of countries that we do business with, including our top trade partners, were, you know, responsible for participating in some of these forced labor things that the administration says needs to be punished via tariff. And so basically, we just kind of saw a reopening of the tariff story. Of course, included in that was China. There were several that are going to get a 10% tariff potentially, and a handful that will get 12. And China is one of them, Japan, China, and India. And so now, of course, the question is at hand as to how that affects the trade deal that we have seen. China did come out yesterday or last night and basically say, we do not participate in forced labor. We don't know where they are getting this. And that really could potentially cause a rift. And honestly, obviously, makes traders kind of question whether we'll get the purchases and the trade increase that folks have been talking about or at least looking forward to.
New World Screwworm, you mentioned that. It was confirmed that there is a case in Texas, and that was confirmed on Wednesday night late. The expectation, I'm sure, for many was that we would see some very volatile cattle markets. And indeed, we did. And I'm going to call it an 18-cent range of trade in feeder cattle, going limit up at the end after sharply lower at the open. Same in live cattle, sharply lower at the open and then sharply higher at the end. Can you explain that volatility?
Yeah, I mean, part of it obviously is we'd been under pressure and we had seen the sell-off, the liquidation. You know, as we've come into this news, Carl, it was great to kind of explain it a little bit in the sense of the analogy that he used was a great picture. It was like a, you know, having a steamroller come at you. We knew that the New World Screwworm was making its way north. You know, I think he had said 10 days ago or so it was 50 miles and then it was 25 miles and it was just a matter of time before we knew we got here. So partly I think there was a little bit of a selling the rumor and then turn around and buy the fact. Of course, there is an idea there or a belief that we will see a substantial reduction in supply. You know, right now there are a lot of I have to be careful with my words because I don't want to say exaggerated claims necessarily because we don't know, but there are a lot of catastrophic sort of conversations being had about what this will mean for the cattle herd. And so I think that's a part of it is folks are kind of looking at this as, if the supply shrinks, then the price has to go higher. And so, the belief is, or the worry is with a lot of the cattle in the South, especially, this tends to to hit your newborn cattle. Like the one case that was found was in the umbilical cord of, I think, a 2-day-old calf. And so that, I think, is the catalyst behind a lot of this, is we could continue to see the border remain closed, and then, of course, see a potential reduction in available supply if we were to see this sort of take off and get a foothold. I don't think we see that happen. I think the USDA is going to have relatively decent control over it. We have eradicated the situation in the past, and some of these other things. But I just, right now, hysteria dominates. And so the more steady, the more important view, or the larger view today, is that we could see the herd get smaller.
Once again, that's Angie Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting. Settlements from Thursday: July corn down 7 cents to 424.5. September corn 7.5 lower, 432.75. July soybeans tumbling 24.5 cents to 1129.25. August beans 25.75 lower, 1132.5. And July wheat falling 5.5 to 581.75. June live cattle, though, up $2.55 to $249.17, but June lean hogs closing 75 cents lower at $95.30. I'm CJ Miller, Michigan Ag Today, Michigan's Farm Network.